Over 6,000 nonprofits operate in Vermont, taking in revenue of $6.8 billion in recent years. That's what journalists at 7 Days found in their series launched last month called Give and Take, examining Vermont's nonprofit economy. The series looks at the state's nonprofit sector from many angles and includes a database based on thousands of tax filings by many of Vermont's nonprofit organizations. Here to talk more about the project are Paul Heintz, a staff writer and political editor at 7 Days, and Andrea Suazo, the outlet's digital editor who built that database. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
So first off, lots of nonprofits do charitable work. So why did you think it was worthwhile to scrutinize them, Paul?
Well, we've been talking about doing this for a couple of years, and the idea really came from having a newsroom discussion about what are the stories that are right beneath our nose that we're just not seeing because they're so present. And it occurred to us that nonprofits are just such a huge part of our life nationally, but especially here in Vermont, where there are, we believe, more per capita than any other state. So we thought it was worth taking stock of who's here, what they're doing, and the many policy decisions surrounding nonprofits.
Well, a lot of nonprofits are involved in state government. The government relies fairly heavily on nonprofits to provide services to many residents. And that wasn't always the case. State government used to do more of that work itself. And one of your pieces has delved into this. Why has government shifted responsibilities to the private nonprofit sector?
Well, it's happened over quite a long period of time. Over the last 50 years or so, Vermont's nonprofit industry has grown up in a lot of different ways. It's expanded. And in that time, the government has decided to shift some of the vital services it provides to nonprofits. And there are good reasons for this. You can provide more local control, more flexibility, and also it can be cheaper because you're not paying state workers higher salaries. So there are some good public policy reasons why you might do that. Of course, when you move that work away from the government, you lose some accountability. And many of these nonprofits would also argue that they've been asked to do all of these services, but are now being underfunded to do so.
Andrea, you put together this database that's part of this project based on the tax filings by nonprofits. And now people can use this tool. It's online to see detailed information about many organizations in Vermont. What can you learn about a nonprofit through its tax filings?
We made searchable the names of the nonprofits. We pulled in the latest reported assets and revenue, so you can get an idea of kind of how much money that organization is working with. We also pulled in, we made searchable information on employees and board members, so you can search by names and you can find out how much people have gotten compensated in over the past. I think we were able to digitize back to 2013 if we had digital filings available. There are also a lot of smaller organizations that are not required to file digitally. For those, we used ProPublica's amazing resources to pull in PDF filings. So you can actually view more than 13,990 filings. And if you're interested in some very specific line item, you can go in yourself and find that. So I believe we have about 1,500 nonprofits with filings in there, and we have more than 13,000 filings that you can look through. So there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah. And one of the features of the database is that you can see some of the top paid employees from a lot of organizations. What's, I guess, the value to you as journalists in terms of making that kind of information, which is fairly personal, a personal salary for different people, to making that searchable and pretty public?
Well, I think it's worth noting that there's a reason why these documents are public in the first place, and that is that nonprofits get some real serious tax advantages. And the trade-off is they have to provide certain information to the government and to the people. So this information has been quote-unquote public for quite some time. The problem is you used to have to get it directly from the government, and then you had to pay an organization like GuideStar for a while. And only recently has it truly been available. And only with Andrea's database here in Vermont can we really compare these organizations side by side. When you look at the compensation figures, it's really helpful to be able to pull up what a person makes at one of these organizations, but then compare it to the size of the organization. I mean, if it's a huge multi-million dollar operation, then the compensation probably should be higher. So this database really helps us look at those questions and analyze them in more granular detail.
Well, you've had a couple of weeks of stories in this series already. What's coming up next?
We have several more weeks worth of stories looking at questions such as how the industry is regulated, who is overseeing it, and whether that oversight is sufficient. So we'll have a couple of those stories in this week's paper.
Paul Heintz is a staff writer and political editor at 7 Days. Andrea Suazo is digital editor. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.